I want to welcome everybody. It's April 3rd, and we're still pretty homebound here in Topeka, and I'm sure the rest of where everybody else is listening as well. And so I'm going to do a home podcast. It's sleeting today, believe it or not. It was 75 Wednesday. It's sleeting today, but it's supposed to be in the 70s next week. I hope the sleet doesn't make too much background noise. Before I begin, I'd like to say the set-aside prayer. God, please set aside everything I think I know about you, God, the steps, recovery, the big book, what's best for me, what's best for others. Especially let go of all my old ideas so I can see your truth and live on it. God, help me carry your message today. Amen. I thought I would do a series of, I don't know how many of these. I'm going to try to limit to 30 minutes. I did four thoughts on recovery from alcoholism. Those are the last thoughts I did. And there is a chart in the under links and documents. It's the last one. It says recovery from alcoholism. You might want to pull that up and look at it. You might want to print it and maybe give it to new people when you start to work with them. This chart came out of working with more than a year and a half ago. I remember the two guys that I was working with, or three or four, before the meeting, and haven't seen them for a while. But they were new in the program, and I was trying to explain what the whole deal is so they could see. And I drew two circles with a line between them. And that's really what the diagram is. And the first circle is self, and the bottom circle is God. And then I'm going to talk about how that relates to recovery from alcoholism, but that's basically what the... And I drew this out on a sheet of paper, and there were four or five, and they said, this is really good. So then I made like a little chart, and then Patty actually made the chart that's in the on the site. And it really embodies what Chuck C. said in his famous New Pair of Glasses talk. When I came in years ago, Chuck C. and New Pair of Glasses was quoted quite a bit, not as much anymore. You can get the book on Amazon. He was the father of the famous actor Richard Chamberlain. And now that I'm old, the young people have no idea who that was, but he was a very famous actor. And this was his dad, and his dad gave a talk in 1977, I believe, in Oregon, Portland, Oregon. And it was recorded. In those days, that was unusual. They recorded the talk, and then they actually wrote a book, typed it out, and it became a book, A New Pair of Glasses. And you can listen to his original talk on XA Speakers, I believe, or somewhere else on the internet. It's certainly worth doing. He was a brilliant spiritual man. He said so many powerful things. But he stated there's only one problem. And from this problem, all other problems derive. For all human beings, but especially for alcoholics, conscious separation from God. And he says there's only one solution, conscious contact. And he says that's the whole deal. Now, what does he mean by conscious separation from God? Conscious separation means in my mind, consciously, I move away from God and my mind separates from God's direction and power. And I live in this world that I've created. And the solution is to how go from that, so you have a circle at the top, which is self, to go to conscious contact, which is the real world where God is. And that's the whole deal. Now, when people come in, they don't know that. They think, well, their problems are them or her or the job and can't stop drinking and don't have enough money. But that's really, from that stems all problems. For everyone, all the time. So how do I go from conscious separation to conscious contact with God? And that's the deal. We have a solution for that. And we have to work it all the time so that whenever I separate from God, I can get back into contact with Him. But in the beginning, I didn't know that. So I'm really talking about how it looks in the beginning. So I lived my whole life in this world I created. It was Michael's world. Now, I didn't know that, but that's what I did. I lived in my world I created, and it was the world of my alcoholism. And it's a world where I was the center of the universe. And so I lived in this world, and I lived in this world and consciously separated from God and the rest of the world. And why did I do this? Well, I lived in this world because I had this delusion from an early age, and it's very powerful on page 61. It asks the question, when it's talking about self-will and self-centeredness, wasn't I a victim of the delusion that I could wrest satisfaction, happiness in this world if I only managed well? What a statement. I was a victim of this delusion that if I could just get everything out there just arranged, I'd feel okay. And it was really dependent on the things out there and the way people saw me. It was related to their approval of me, being good enough. So I transferred God to the world and people, and I gave them all this power. Why? Because I talked about on the last podcast, false pride. I was less than, I always felt less than, so I wanted to compensate by that, by creating, managing the world so I'd feel more than, or I'd feel okay. And I would get things that would make me feel okay, and that would give me recognition. And Bill W. talked about the drive for success was on, and he talked about that early on in his life. He wanted to be recognized as a leader. He wanted to be in charge of vast enterprises, and he was driven for that. Why? Not that really wanted a lot of money or power. He wanted to feel okay, and he would be okay if he was, quote, a success. So I wanted to be loved. I wanted to be good enough. I wanted approval. And the only way I could figure out to do this from an early age was to try to manage so that those things would occur. Achievements. I became a people pleaser. I became insecure. I became fearful. I would become angry when I thought something was threatening my ability to get what I wanted. And I remember that from an early age. I didn't understand it. I didn't think I was bad, and I wasn't. I just had this delusion. I had this idea that wasn't based on any reality. Now, who told me this? Nobody told me this. Nobody told me to manage the world and I would progress satisfaction, happiness. That's the only thing I saw. So I had a manager and I had a plan, and it was mine. And so this delusion created a world where what I wanted and needed depended on my management, my power. And what I wanted and needed depended on my view of how it make me feel okay or more than or enough or loved. Or I was very concerned about how I looked to other people, how they perceived me. And so I was really not running my own show. It says we were driven by 100 forms of fear, self-pity, to self-delusion. I was driven by what the world thought of me, to get approval and to be okay. Parents, relatives, teachers, classmates. And it's a lonely world. And it never worked. And it was never enough. I could never achieve, I could never get everything all on the right pegs arranged, and I would say, well, now I'll be okay. Now this is good, and it'll be okay, but it was never enough. It didn't satisfy the fear, because I'm always going to be afraid when I'm in my world. And we talked about that in the second step proposition. If God is nothing and I'm everything, I'm going to be afraid all the time. And then, and when I'm in that world, what I want matters. And then my whole life depends on whether I'm getting what I want. Then I realize now that what I wanted wasn't what I needed. And so it's a lonely world that never worked. And it says, why? Why does it never work? Because I'm not God. It's pretty simple. So I lived in this world where I really should have been locked up, because I was in a world where I was running the world and thought I was God. That's insane. And that's the insanity of alcoholism. I mean, it's insane when we take the first drink, but the insanity that leads to the first drink is that I thought that I was God and played God. Now, I didn't say, I'm going to be God today. I didn't consciously say it, but that's what was happening. So when I look back on my life and I feel bad about the things that happened and my decisions, I say, you know, I just had the wrong manager. Me. So when I see new people, I say, fire yourself. And they look at me like, you're crazy. What do you mean? Well, I mean, fire yourself. They come up with these ideas. They tell me these things. I say, well, who told you to do that? Who gave you that idea? Whoever it is, fire him. So I have to fire myself all the time now. But I wasn't a bad person. I just had the wrong manager. And I was on a losing team. It was like a team that never won any NFL game. And I kept keeping the same coach and running the same plays and thinking that eventually it's going to get better. And it never did. It's a very lonely world. So my thinking and actions were driven by me, and I was an example of self will run riot. Though I didn't think so. That's a famous line in the book, and one of my buddies always says, though he usually doesn't think so. I didn't think so, but I was. I was self-will run riot. And my thinking and actions were driven by me and what I wanted. And so it says, one of the great promises, so we think our troubles are of our own making and they arise out of ourselves. Why is that a great promise? Because if I change my thinking, then my actions will change, and I don't have to change them or anything in the world except me. And so that's what the program's all about. It's not changing them or the outside world or what I want or what I need. It's changing my thinking from me to God. And I'm changing my personality. Isn't that what it says? We need a personality change sufficient to overcome alcoholism. What the hell are they talking about? I have to have a new personality, one that's centered not on me, but on God. And it says we're putting our lives back in order, but this is not an end in itself. Our real purpose is to fit myself to be of maximum service to God and others. Whole change in my direction. And so I have a new manager. And it says if on page 63, if I live in that new world, I have a new employer. I don't work for Michael anymore. I work for God. I would tell people at work, well, I don't work for the administration or the hospital. I work for God. And sometimes they'd look at me strange and they say, you know, that's right. And so it says my problems arose out of me living in this world I created. I forgot to say, I'm actually reading from Thoughts 74 to 77. And it's on recovery from alcoholism. They're in under the thoughts, and I'm going through them. And it reflects the chart on recovery from alcoholism and the whole deal as I see it. So I made decisions that caused harm. And that line in the book, when we look back, we see that the things that we did when we were running the show caused ourselves harm and harmed others. And that's page 62. It's, I love this. It says, I invariably found that at some time in the past I've made decisions based on self, which later placed me in a position to be hurt and to hurt others. And isn't that true when you look back on your life? That I made decisions based on self, what I thought, this delusion I had, the rest, satisfaction, happiness in my life. I made decisions based on that harmed me and it harmed others. And when I look back in my life, I'm almost 70 years old, and I look at the things I did and the people I hurt, it makes me sad. But I don't have the shame and guilt anymore. I just knew I had the wrong manager. And I could see how I should have been different. But I had no power at that time to do differently. So if I separate from God, my life will never work. Isn't that really the first step? I'm powerless over alcohol without God in that world. In that world where Michael is the center, I have no power to relieve the obsession to drink, and I have no power to manage my life successfully ever. So how does this relate to alcoholism? So when I live in this world, I'm irritable, restless, and discontented. Isn't that what Dr. Silkworth said? We're irritable, restless, and discontented. And so what does that mean? Irritable means things, people, and events are always bothering me because it's not going Michael's way. And then even if it goes my way for a while, then I get afraid that I'm going to lose it. Or it's not enough and I'm moving on to the next thing. It didn't fill the hole. Dr. Young says all alcoholics have a longing for God. That's our problem. And we have this hole inside of us that we fill with other things. And then it eventually alcohol and it stops working. And we have this hole because I'm living separate from God. And the only solution to that is conscious with God. And I'm restless because I have no peace and serenity. When I came in, all I really wanted was to feel okay, just some peace in my life, just some serenity. I didn't care about things or anything. Circus. I just wanted some peace. And I'm discontented because I'm only content if I get what I want from people and they follow the script for them. And remember, and it's really sad that I had a script and nobody had the script. So they didn't know what to do. And they wouldn't follow it. And the result was that it was in conflict with everything and everyone. It says at the end of, I think it's Working with Others, it says, we had to stop fighting everything and everyone. We had to. It says, after all, our problems were moan-making. Of course, I've created this world. Bottles were only a symbol of the solution that I used to be able to live in that world. And besides, we have stopped fighting anybody or anything. We have to. And how do we stop fighting everything and everybody? By living a life where love and tolerance of others is my code. Now, when I'm in my world, love and tolerance of others was not my code of living. And so a life run on self-will will never work. And I hope people understand that. The problem I have with new people is they're not completely defeated. Things are going badly in their lives, but they can't see that they cannot manage their lives successfully. They can't see that they're never going to be able to fix. They're not going to have a plan that's going to fix their predicament. They have no power to do that. And as long as they think they have a plan or they have power, they're not going to do the deal. They're not going to go to any length. And it says, so I wrote, a life run on self-will is manifested by wrong thoughts and wrong actions. And I use that chart all the time that I got from the Joe and Charlie, where they have the three instincts of life, social, material, and sexual. All human beings have that instincts. And And that you can get that chart on the site. It says what makes up self-will. We talk about self-will a lot, but self-will is just me trying to solve the instincts of life on the level that I thought I need to be okay. So I can rest manifest. I can rest satisfaction out of life if I manage well. So if I manage my social instincts well, I'll be happy. Companionship, being accepted, being a leader, prestige, pride, self-esteem, how I relate to the world. If I run the show and I figure out how to satisfy that, then I'll be okay. My material instincts, my security, money, emotional security, physical, material security. I'll rest satisfaction, happiness in life if I manage that well to get what I think I need. So I have to manage my social instincts to get what I think I need for approval and to be loved and accepted and prestige and materially what I need to be okay. Do I have a big enough house or car, job? Am I respected? And the instincts were not the way God created them. Because just having a house wasn't enough. It had to be a bigger house. And people had to look at the house and say they liked the house or the job. And I hope people can relate to this. And then the sexual instinct. Not just to have physical sex, but to use sex to get approval. Or to use sex to get self-respect or self-esteem. And you use people. Use people in relationships to fulfill your instincts of life. So when you have self at the center and not God, and you're in that world, it's very distorted how you seek to obtain the instincts of life at the level that you want, not the level God wants. And that's what John Charlie made the point. When we're one with God, then we look at the instincts differently, and the satisfaction of them is different than when we're running the show and we're in self-will. And it says, if you look at that chart, so you have self and you have the instincts of life at the top, and then there are three arrows. Resentment, fear, and harmful actions, especially in sex relationships. And those are the wrongs as the result of living on self-will. Step 5 says we admit to someone the exact nature of our wrongs. The wrongs are the wrong judgment, which we call resentment, as a result of me running the show, being in this world, trying to satisfy my instincts of life. Fear is wrong belief that I have of the future, that I won't be able to satisfy my instincts of life to the level that I need. And then the harm I did others or the actions I took in sex relationships and other relationships to get what I thought I need, and it's not pretty. That's your life story when you come to AA. That's what you're supposed to talk to someone about. Not whether you went to high school and you got straight A's. Your life story of self-will and how it looks. And then when you do your 4-step, you can see how your wrong judgments, your wrong beliefs, fears were wrong, my judgment was wrong, my actions were wrong. And then the exact nature was the character defects that were caused by me planting my tree in Michael's soil and not God's soil. So I wrote on page 64, these are called wrongs. In my alcohol world, I manifested wrong judgment, which we call resentment. All my resentments were wrong. Wrong beliefs, which are self-centered fears, they're all wrong because they don't exist. They're not even happening right now. And I'm always wrong to be angry about something that happened in the past. I can forgive. I can say the prayers. And a lot of times my judgment was wrong. It was distorted. It wasn't even true what I thought people did. And my wrong beliefs, my self-centered fears, don't even exist except in my head. And I would act on things that don't exist in my head and take actions and cause harm to others. How crazy is that? And then these harms produce shame and guilt. Anybody have shame and guilt when you come in here and you still have it, but you can see now the shame and guilt I have was from re-managing my life. That's how you begin to forgive yourself. You see, you were not a bad person, just had the wrong manager, and your tree was planted in the wrong soil. So I was powerless to do anything differently. I had no power to be different. I wish I'd learned all this when I was 5 years old. I could have saved myself a lot of misery and other people from being misery as a result of my actions. So it says, how does this relate to alcohol? Well, if you're living in the self-centered world, satisfying your instincts of life, and you're always angry and fearful and harming people, well then, you seek the ease and comfort of alcohol. And it relieves you of the pain living in this self-centered world. So if you're in that self-centered world, you're never going to be okay enough that that alcohol won't come into your head and say, you can fix this world right now, Michael. Why? Because it used to work, but stopped working. So alcohol was the solution to how I felt living separated from God. It changed the way I felt. I went from irritable, restless, and discontent to some form of peace and harmony. If you look at the promises that we read on page 83 and 84, those things all came true when you used alcohol. And if you look at the phone was ringing. So if I live in this world and I'm irritable, restless, and discontent, and I want the promises to come true, I would drink. And now we get the promises from our relationship with God because it stopped working. And I was mentioning the bewilderments on page 52. That's how our life looked when we came in here. And I'll read them, if that's okay. The bewilderments are, I was having trouble with personal relationships. Well, of course, I was running the world. They didn't have the scripts. I couldn't control my emotional nature. I was prey to misery and depression. I couldn't make a living. I had a feeling of uselessness. I was full of fear. I was unhappy. The basic was not a basic solution to these bedevilments. And the solution to the bedevilments is to not live in that self-centered world anymore. And so alcohol changed the way I felt, so it had a lot of power over me. So my mind learned that the effect of alcohol, and I would seek it when things didn't go my way, it would be subconsciously. That's why it says we cannot bring into consciousness the humiliation and defeat of a moment ago. Because all we can think about is what it's going to do for us, not to us. And the problem was, I was an alcoholic, I had no allergy to alcohol, manifested by the phenomenon of craving. So once alcohol entered my system, I had no control over the man I drank. And this can never be treated or changed. So the real problem centers in my mind, sober. Sober means son of a bitch, everything's real. Your emotions, your feelings, the bedevilments. So if I live sober in my self-centered world where I was living when I came into AA, so an alcoholic sober living without God will never have a defense against the first drink, ever. Because in that world, there's no power. I have no power other than my power to resist alcohol, and I can't bring into sufficient force consciousness of what it's going to do to me, only for me. And if I'm in that world, I'm always going to be irritable, restless, and discontent. And so I'll never have peace. And that's why I was powerless over alcohol and my life was completely unmanageable. So I wrote, I'll never be able to live without being irritable, restless, and discontented. I live in fear, constantly getting disturbed to take actions to harm myself and others. And then I can never see the truth of that. It's always their fault. It's always them. Why didn't they understand? My motives were so good. Couldn't they see? I was just trying to be a good person. But that's where it says the alcoholic cannot tell the true from the false. My mind was constantly be seeking alcohol to treat this condition. And the problem for me is having consequences from the alcohol, and it stops working. And your life becomes more unmanageable, and then you have to add the drinking and the using to it. And so it's a mess. So that's why when people come and they stop drinking and using, they're still living in the problem, which is sober without God in their self-centered world. And some of them can never see it. That's why AA doesn't work for them. It's not that AA doesn't work. It doesn't work for someone who can't see that they're in the wrong world. And they need to let go of that world and get out of it. And that's a gift. And I'm going to talk about that the next time. So as long as I'm separated from God in my alcoholic world, I have no power ever against the first drink. Never. None. None. Willpower and self-knowledge will not be an effective defense, because right before I take the first drink, I can only see what alcohol is going to do for me, not to me. Willpower won't work. And I wrote, I cannot recover from alcoholism and continue to live in my self-centered world. Now, when I've had enough of that world, and I'm going to talk about that next time, recovery for alcoholism begins when I see I cannot live the way I've been. I give up. I remember getting down on my knees 2:30 in the afternoon and saying, God, I just can't go on. I can't go on. I'm completely defeated by alcohol, living, life, everything. Help me. I said, God, Jesus, help me. And that was a gift. That was a gift from God, that moment of complete defeat. So unless you're completely defeated, you're not going to see your brokenness and that you can't live in that world anymore. You need a new world. So the first step, the willingness to change, to move out of that world, drives everything. And if it's not 100%, if you're not completely defeated, you'll move out for a day or two or a week or month or 3 months, but you won't move out enough and do the work necessary to get out of there. So recovery from alcoholism, I wrote, begins when I see I cannot live the way I've been. I become completely defeated by living this way. And there was a moment when I faced the truth that I have a hopeless and futile condition. I can't fix it. Now that's too simple when people say, I can, he can, I'll let him. No, it has to be completely heartfelt, rendering, surrender, the pain, the fear. It was so bad, I don't want to ever forget it. And so that moment of complete defeat has to drive you forever. That's the deal. And Father Leo says it so well. Then he talks about his moment of defeat when he drove the car into the tree, and he was the pastor, and the two women were sitting on the porch, and they looked at Father Leo, and they said, Father Leo is drunk again. And he looked at himself, and he could not deny the hopelessness and futility of his situation. I could not deny the hopelessness and futility of my condition. I could see the truth, and I can still see that today, and that drives me to do the deal. Father Leah says we never want to forget that moment of complete defeat, and that's why we go to AA meetings and we say we're an alcoholic and we're in the fellowship, so we can keep that moment alive. Or we'll forget it. That's why meetings are so important. And so I hit bottom, and I said to myself, I'm going to do anything they ask of me. I can't go on like this more. This was the beginning of my recovery. And so the act of complete surrender is the beginning for me of moving out of my self-centered world and seeking God and direction for my life. It's beginning to turn away from myself to God. It's that moment of turning, surrendering, and leaving the where I'd been my whole life. And I hope this was helpful. I'm gonna do part two next session, and you can read the thoughts on the site 74 to 77, and you can look at the chart. Also, for those listening, we have the Zoom podcasts, and we have the numbers to get on. and it's on the site, and you'll see it under Thoughts of Recovery, how to get onto the online meetings. I hope everybody's safe and doing, giving all your fears to God. Put yourself in God's hands. That's all you can do. And then do as He would have you. And everybody be safe. Thank you.